I saw My Mom's Basement was actually on the charts. We got up to like 125. So that was cool to see. People seem to dig that episode with Roan. We will definitely have more of those coming in the future, possibly as soon as next week. But today, we're going to get right into it. We have an interview kicking things off with Jim Norton and Matt Serra of UFC Unfiltered, a podcast that I'm sort of a fill-in host for at this point. And after that, we will go over to an interview I conducted with Danielle Monet, formerly known as Summer Rae. I'll meet you in between to do some ad reads, but let's get right into it.
Okay.
All right, you guys ready?
You got it.
Hello and welcome back to My Mom's Basement. I'm sitting here with two guys that I appreciate very much, two guys that I've actually never sat in a room with, the three of us together.
It's always one or the other, right?
Yeah,
is that right?
It's always bizarre. I'm a fill-in guy on UFC Unfiltered, and today I have the two hosts of UFC Unfiltered, Matt Serra and Jim Norton, on my show for the first time ever. Thanks for joining me, guys.
Of course, thank you.
So happy to be here. And I did not realize that.
Isn't that weird?
That we were not in this. I feel like I'm giving my back to Jim.
It's like, that's okay, but it's like Phoenix Carnival. Like a lot of times Phoenix will be in with Matt or when I'm away, and Robbie's the same thing. So we like to try to get all three of us in the same room, but it's very hard to make it happen.
Yeah, so two congratulations in order. To you for Merab, you had a huge weekend. The Machine, your fighter, you were
so happy.
Losing your mind in his corner, going viral all over the place, screaming
so
in his
happy.
Face like a
yeah,
lunatic.
They put that on. So they put that on Instagram somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. You
so look. Happy for Merab. I mean, he just, with that Casey Kenny kid, was 6-0 in the UFC. Talented kid. He was a 2-time division champion in, I think, LFA. I hope I got that right. But stud. You know, trains with the great John Crouch. He's got a lot of guys underneath him. And Merab just looked phenomenal.
He looked really good. And yeah. I love the post-fight picture, the whole corner wearing the hats, the papakas, right?
Yeah.
Phenomenal. That was really funny. And congratulations to you, Jim, for the new special on Degenerates.
Thank you.
I loved
on
it.
Netflix,
Degenerates
yeah.
is one of my favorites because it is like the brief. It's almost feels like you're going to a comedy show and seeing a bunch of 20-minute sets.
Yeah, I was so dumb. I originally was like, I'm not going to do it. And I'm like, what am I, an asshole? Like, of course I'm going to do it. Like, it's Netflix. And it was 20 minutes. It was great. Like, yeah. I loved it. The hard part now is going on the road. I have to refill that 20 minutes back into my act.
Yeah.
But I was really, really
so
happy.
So were you like, you weren't going to take that? And you weren't ready for a special, I guess. You weren't that.
No, they just wouldn't offer me a special. Believe me, I would have loved to have done a special if they gave me one. But the fact they gave me this, I'm like, I would have been dumb not to do it. And people reacted well to it. There's a lot of suicide material in there. And people were very, like, a lot of depressed people reached out, which always
cool.
makes me happy.
Yeah.
That's my demo. You know, if you look at your belt as more than just an item you wear, I'm your guy.
I think I'm definitely your demo in that thing. You're the king of Netflix this year. Between that and The Irishman, you got, what, almost 4 hours of content on there.
It was really, but with me, there was only 20 minutes and 30 seconds of screen time, but it still went well.
Was it more fun doing the Degenerates because your buddies were doing it too, or no?
Like no, I was happy to do it with Bobby, and I love Donnell Rawlins, and I like Nikki and Miss Pat and Adrian. But
it
no,
was a
I,
good
I
crew.
It was really good, but yeah. I'm used to doing things myself, so it was weird. I'm not used to not making every decision as far as the stage setting. Like you know, you get territorial. But that one, I just kind of showed up for and did the material.
You guys filmed that all in one night.
Yes, it was two shows, and we all have our own episode, but the crowd was great. It was Vegas, and I'm like, this is going to suck because I hate Vegas crowds because they're like tourists. But then they were like, no, this is 3 miles off, and they were mutants. And I'm like, this is what I want. these fucking locals that are mutants.
So how long ago did Unfiltered start? How many years ago?
Oh, fuck. I didn't know you'd start with these tough questions.
3 or 4, right?
I don't mean to grill you. I just don't know how you guys met.
Yeah, we met earlier. I did when I was fighting, I did the Opie and Anthony show.
Yeah,
and that's when I first met Jimmy. You know, and I remember out of the three of them, Jimmy was the fight fan. Fair to say, right? And he wanted to. We took a picture afterwards, and then I ran into him again either at the fights. I'd see him, and it was like you know, hello, goodbye thing. But I always had a good friendly vibe and. He was always such a nice guy. I never watched those old Opie and Anthony shows, or listened, I should say, when they were happening. But I'll tell you right now, since I met him, I went back and I listened now to the old episodes
the old
with Patrice and Bill Burr and Louis C.K. and just the chemistry with Jimmy and Anthony. Oh, it's so much fun. Awesome. I missed it when it was going on.
Yeah.
And I was on the show.
I pretty much missed it as well. I was too young for it at the time.
Yeah.
But now I go back and all the stuff with Patrice just cracks me up. But I think your relationship is hysterical because I think most people would look at your two personality types and be like, how are you guys friends?
Well, you know what's weird? Like, I remember I saw Matt. I was with one of my ex-girlfriends in Vegas. And I saw Matt at a table having breakfast. And I'm socially the worst. Like, I never say hi to people. But it's not to be a dick. It's like I just feel uncomfortable. Like, nobody wants to.
You feel like you're going to be rude to them.
I'm annoying them. I suck. But Matt's such a good dude. I'm like, no, I'm going to make an effort to be like, because I like him. So I'm like, why wouldn't I say hi to a guy I like? And I wound up saying hello and we had a conversation. I'm like, I'm so glad I did that. Like, I'm, you know, I see a dude and I'm not painfully shy or stupid or awkward. And then whatever it was, a couple years later, Dana just called me. And, you know, Dana's very, you know, to the point. He's like, hey, we're doing a podcast. You want to do it? He's like, Matt Serra's on it, and we'd love to have you as his co-host. Here's the money. Let me know. I mean, Dana's very blunt.
Oh, yeah.
And I was very happy, and we worked out a couple of minor things, and it was it.
It's a fun podcast. I really love filling in and doing it because we sit down, and we have fun. There's not much prep involved, and not for lack of care. For just like that's like the flow of the show, and it's fun. Yeah. But going into your two different personality types, Jim, you're kind of the rock and roll guy. Matt, you're kind of with me on the nerdy stuff.
Oh, 100%.
We haven't spoken since episode 9 came out.
Oh, wow. That's right.
Did you enjoy episode 9?
Oh, Jimmy, hold on to your seat right now.
I know how you felt about The Last Jedi. We've talked about it.
Way more than The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I enjoyed. But this is the thing. It was, this is what happened. J.J. Abrams got effed. I don't know how I could curse in here.
You could curse. You could say whatever you want.
Dude,
on
he
show.
Got fucked by what's his name?
Ryan Johnson.
Ryan Johnson. Jimmy.
I don't necessarily.
Jimmy.
Agree.
Well, let me tell you why though.
All right, let me hear it.
Well, how do you not agree? Then let's talk about it. And The Force Awakens, Jimmy. Have you seen it?
I have.
Okay.
Is that a Star Wars film?
Really quick. We meet Rey, right?
Yep.
It's mysterious who her parents are. I can't wait to find out. It's going to be very exciting because they set it up. She must be, is she related to Luke? Is she the daughter of fucking Han and Leia? It's all this mysterious
Yoda's
stuff.
Yoda's niece?
Well, listen, we don't know who she is.
Okay.
We don't know who she is, Robbie. And then, you know, they said now they have this cool guy, Snoke. What is his backstory? Oh, he's mysterious. He's kind of like the Emperor, but different. Looks kind of fucked up. Wow, I can't wait to find out what's going on with him. You know, the helmet he's wearing, everything down to even the helmet. Kylo Ren, Darth Vader's, you know, listen, helmet's money, legendary. Oh, my goodness. This helmet's pretty cool looking, too, okay? Now we got the next one, The Last Jedi, takes the helmet. Ah, why are you wearing that ridiculous thing? He fucking gets rid of it. Snoke is saying, Ben Kenobi,
Jeff.
Kylo.
Oh.
Kylo's saying, no, you know who your parents are? Guess what? They're nobody. They're fucking no. You thought they were somebody, they're nobody. Shit on that. I mean, you know, it's horrible. So then, and then Luke. What about fucking Luke with the hand, the lightsaber? Luke became a hermit. The guy with the most enthusiasm and faith and everything. I'm talking about The Last Jedi now. I know we'll get to the new one. I'm sorry.
Darth Vader was
fine.
His father.
This is fine. But, by the way, Jimmy. This is one of the funniest things to look at our levels over here. Matt is the one in the middle.
Oh, my God. It's funny.
Am I sitting too close?
Yeah. No, it looks like somebody's
you're fine.
Before and during a Coke binge.
Well, listen, I get mad. I don't care about a lot. People get worked up over politics. I don't. I get worked up over this. So listen, so Ryan Johnson wanted to be, don't get me, wait, hold on. Everybody, and I talked about this before, everybody wants to be get that ooh moment now in the fucking mysterious moment in the fucking movies, like the M. Night Shyamalan fucking,
surprise ending.
I didn't see Luke's fucking footprint in the sand. Oh my goodness. He wasn't really there, Jimmy.
Oh, come on, Matt. That was awesome.
It's awesome for 2 seconds, and then you realize, oh, he's dead. He died on a fucking rock meditating.
He sacrificed himself for the next generation.
Do you have a boo button that we can fucking...
Oh, I didn't see that.
Dude, Luke... Dude, wouldn't it have been way cooler?
It's pretty incredible, Jim. I think you'd like it.
I probably would.
Mm, yeah.
I think you'd have to see it. I don't think... So then, anyway, I wish J.J. Abrams did all three of the movies, because I enjoyed...
I think they definitely should add more planning. Someone should have done all three.
They weren't I'm written out beforehand. They can't say they were written out. There was no clear structure.
But that's how the original trilogy was, too.
And it worked out great.
I hate how it's going. Darth Vader's driving an Uber. I only like Darth Vader. I don't
Go ahead, Matt. In the first one, Luke and Leia are a love interest. They're kissing. And by the third, they're brother and sister. And it's a revelation. It's a little
That made the love interest hotter.
No, but the thing is this. It was creepy, but at the same time, it could be like, oh, he didn't know. What the fuck, man?
Exactly. Yeah. But those movies weren't planned. And they have the same sort of faults that the new ones do in that way, but we don't that we hold them, you know, in that highest.
But the faults I don't think are as strong. Where they totally, Snoke, look, I made a lot of Snokes. Look, there's someone floating in a half a tank right now.
So, did you like the new movie?
I did. I liked it better than the last one.
What's the new one called?
The Rise of Skywalker.
You like Rey being Palpatine? They went back on it.
No, I don't like that the guy came back. I'm not a big fan of all of it. I'll be honest with you. I'm a fan of it.
You like The Mandalorian?
I love that.
All right, good.
Jimmy, we talked about like The Mandalorian.
Gina Carano?
I think Cara Gina Carano is great in it.
I want to kick Baby Yoda into a fan.
I hate Baby Yoda. I saw one of your tweets about it. It broke my heart. That's Jimmy doesn't. You could be contrarian about a lot of things.
But I'm not even trying to be.
No, but it's fun. It's a child's toy.
I hate George Lucas. It's a child's toy.
I know you hate George Lucas. One of the most quoted things around this entire office among the Star Wars fans is your quote about him saying that he has a weak chin.
He really does. It's hideous. But the problem I have with it is it's all marketed to children. I wouldn't mind Baby Yoda, but I know it's just a child's toy waiting to happen, and there it is.
Jimmy's far from a hater because he likes other people's success, but I just think in this situation, because he's just so cute and little cuddly, he doesn't like nothing else cute and little cuddly.
All right, but let's flip it on Jim now. We've talked a lot about Star Wars. Let's talk about rock and roll. I'm going to read some tours that are happening, upcoming reunion tours, and I want you to tell me if any of them are spiking your interest, if you're out on them, how you feel.
Okay.
We got Black Crowes, Motley Crue, Rage Against the Machine, My Chemical Romance, and then two that reunited a few years ago but have been doing the reunion tour thing for a while, Guns N' Roses and Smashing Pumpkins.
I'll say this. Motley Crue I would see one more time. I saw Motley Crue in 84 or 83 when they were on the tour with Ozzy for Bark at the Moon. So I saw Motley Crue. They were at my first Ozzy concert. They were the opening act. I saw Metallica the first time that way too, opening for Ozzy on the – I think – I want to say it was the Ultimate Sin Tour. I would see, of course – Guns N' Roses. I saw them at the Apollo. They were great.
The Sirius XM show at the Apollo.
Yeah, I was at that. And Axl Live is a thing to behold. That motherfucker. His voice. One of my favorite thing they did, I think, was the AC/DC cover of Whole Lotta Rosie.
Yeah.
As far as anybody else, I've never been a big Rage fan. I respect them. They're good. I just, you know what I mean? We're smart and you're dumb. We're smart and you're dumb. We get it and you don't. Got it.
I'm so happy you're singing. It's the first time you ever sang in front of me.
You're way more like metal, right? I am.
Like Ozzy, I'll see when he tours. Of course, the Sabbath reunion.
I'm hopeful for that new Ozzy album. I love this. I've heard it. With Chad Smith. What do you think?
I loved it. But then again, you know, not to brag, but I heard it in Ozzy's house with Ozzy. He played it for me.
Come on.
Completely bragging. But yeah, it was. I loved it. Ordinary Man.
That's a name drop that you got
to
name.
I have to.
You have to do it. If you're in Ozzy's house listening to Ozzy's new album with Ozzy, you got
to
tell me.
He heard himself and then he just decided to do a new album. I think he did it in a month.
Yeah.
And it was crazy.
I was talking about that with Jim Florentine, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And now as a podcast here and everything.
I think of Jim... you know, because he's as big of an Ozzy and Sabbath fan as I am. So, I love the new record. He did the one with Elton John. Under the Graveyard, I'm obsessed with. Fucking love that song. So I'm really happy for him.
So out of all those tours, which one would you say is the most exciting?
Guns N' Roses should be the most interesting. Because they're doing
MetLife with Smashing Pumpkins, actually, in July.
I wouldn't know the Smash. I don't care about Smashing Pumpkins. I don't care about Rage. I care about...
Cut off at the 90s? Are you anti-grunge, too?
No, I respect Nirvana? Nah, I don't give a shit. I mean, they're good. I love Dave Grohl. But the bottom line is I was doing gigs. I started comedy in 1990, so I was obsessed with stand-up. Yeah. So I missed the whole generation of music. But I respect those guys. I just didn't listen.
That's where we're different. With all those bands... All the ones we named, the one that you know the one I like the most? I'm gonna sing it to you.
Yeah.
I'll sing a lyric, okay? Do you want me to sing this lyric?
Nope, absolutely.
Because out of all the ones he named...
More than anything.
The one that he doesn't like... Flashback in 1979.
Hold on, Brian Adams.
Cool kids never have the time. Did I fuck up that lyric?
No, that was right.
No. It's so good, Jimmy.
Doesn't
it
sound good.
Well, I don't sing well.
No, but I don't like the tempo.
First of all, that hurt,
we could
though.
Maybe we'll not, go not back.
That hurt my feelings because I tried to make it sing. But goddamn, 1979. Am I too loud in this?
No.
1979. Do you have neighbors here?
No.
1979 the name of the fucking thing?
Yep.
Oh, my. That song, Jimmy, when I'm driving around Long Island on the Long Island Expressway, listen to that. Don't be calling me. I'll put you right to voicemail.
Yeah.
Don't interrupt that shit, Jimmy. I get so happy. It's my feel-good song, Jimmy.
I would rather see Guns N' Roses live. Sorry.
You know, I saw them live a few years ago on the, you know, Not In This Lifetime tour when they came back with Slash and Duff. Well, best show I've ever seen live was it them at MetLife. And so Lenny Kravitz open too. Lenny Kravitz is awesome live.
Yeah. I wish all of them were in the band. I mean, I know the drummer with Adler is a little hard. I think Matt Storm they might have had a falling out with. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But you know, it's hard to the
Matt
drummer
Storm too. That would be so awesome. Frank Ferrer, their current drummer, is incredible as well. But it's just, you know, the reunion feel is better if everyone's there.
Yeah, but it's like Tommy Clafita's playing with Sabbath. Like, I love Bill Ward, and I would take Bill Ward not playing as well as Tommy just to see Bill play. But the drummers have that's a hard fucking thing to upkeep after 50 years, man, is the drums.
Yeah, definitely. All right, I got some MMA questions. Maybe some that you might have covered on this week's show, but pretty generic ones that I think are on everyone's mind. How did you guys have Jones and Reyes scored?
I had the first three rounds for Reyes, and, you know, Jones won the championship rounds. And when you score it round by round, it shouldn't matter that Jones came back and had a good – it's awesome. It shows that he's a champion. If you're judging it as a whole fight, like the old Pry rules, how it ends and this and that, but you're not judging it. You're judging it by each round. You take the score of each round, you add it up. I felt that he'd done enough in the first three rounds.
So do you not like the mentality of, like, you got to beat the champ? You got to really show that you beat him?
No. I do. I like it, but it does – but that's not how we're scoring it, though. That might be the great attitude.
I go so back and forth because I like – there's part of me that feels that way. Like, yeah, you got to beat the champ to be the champ. But at the same time, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, I had a 50-45 Jones. A lot of people don't agree with my scoring. No, but you know, I thought Reyes won it 3-2, and I do. But I also like the mentality if you have to beat the champion.
Yeah.
But I felt like when you're judging it round by round, he did beat him. But you know what? Him losing is not a crime because Jones, you know, fought well enough, and he fought well enough in the last two rounds. But it was that one judge that we talked about on Unfiltered today, that Joe, whatever his name is, 49-46, was just fucking disgraceful.
Yeah.
We've seen the fight, though. So I would I like to see it again? Sure. I think a lot of people would.
Yeah.
But after Jan Blachowicz this weekend, what he just did to Corey Anderson. Now, you could say, well, Corey Anderson did great with Johnny Walker, but he had some losses, and it's Corey Anderson. It's not John Jones. Yes. But at the same time, look what he also did to Luke Rockhold. Look what he also did to Jacare Souza. Look what he also did for, I'm forgetting who the fuck else was the other. Wait, hold on. Give me 2 seconds and I'll remember. I'm not going to remember.
Okay.
But anyway, the last few guys he fought, now it's bothering me. I want to remember. But, you know, he's coming off fighting these an impressive list of guys that are looking to put his ass to the floor and are good at doing that. Are they as good as John Jones at doing that? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But Corey Anderson, that's basically his bread and butter. That's how he's won a lot of his fights. Luke Rockhold on top is as dangerous as anybody. He's very dangerous. Jacare Souza, of course, is a world-class black belt. If they couldn't get him down, that means, you know, John Jones might have a hard time getting him down. So a lot's going to be decided on his feet, and you've seen the power that this strong Polish man has.
Well, John was having a hard time taking Reyes down. I mean, Reyes looked incredible. His
even in the fourth, like when he was starting to gas, he was still having trouble.
He was so strong. I mean, he's just a stronger, maybe he's stronger than John thought he was, or, you know, but he looked great defensively stopping the takedown.
So you guys would rather see the Reyes rematch right now or the John fight?
I'd rather see the Jan fight.
I want Thiago Santos. That's the fight I've been screaming about more than anything. I want Santos because he hurt. Again, hopefully he's the same fighter when he comes back, but he hurt both of his legs and still went the distance and was doing something to John that I hadn't seen anybody do, which was really fuck his legs up. And he did. It was like, wow, that was a great strategy, and he was doing it well. I think he was really hurting John with that. And it would have been interesting to see him continue without being hurt. I would love to see how that fight would have played out.
Do you remember any committed takedowns he tried in that fight or no?
What's that?
Do you remember John Jones trying to put him down in that fight?
I don't. I don't remember.
I don't think Jones did.
I don't think so either.
I was there at that fight, and I don't think.
I think he wanted to test himself. I think, you know, I don't want him. I would hate for him getting. I think what happened when he watched Jan Blachowicz, his fight over the weekend. I think something sparked in him where that pumped him up. Because I think he was getting bored in there, man. That's why he's trying to stand up.
That's what a lot of people say. A lot of fighters have told me that.
Thiago Santos, you know, he's been taken down before, and so it's like John Jones switches up the strategy. That's not that appealing to me. I mean, or whatever. I mean, listen, the guy Santos is a stud. I'm not shitting on the guy, but before that, Dominic Reyes would be way more, because people really feel he won the fight more so than Santos. I feel that'd be a better fight, but I think Blachowicz is the fight to make, man.
Yeah,
because look at the guys he's been taking out, man. And
the Reyes rematch is there, right? You could even tell Reyes after this, you get the winner.
Get the winner, man. Yeah. I'd like to see him fight either guy.
Yeah.
So, man, I don't know. I'm impressed with Blachowicz.
Yeah, and plus, Santos is not a viable option. I think he's still out. He's still hurt. Yeah. So, I mean, there's weird fights that I want to see more than, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's certain fights I just really want to see, and that's one of the ones I want.
Did you say weird fights? What did you think of the Diego Sanchez fight?
No, good segue.
That was a weird fight.
Yeah. He got good advice from his coach, I thought. Although I'm not sure how he saw it. I said, you're right. He did win the first round. And I realized he was talking to Diego. I'm like, oh, incorrect. How did you tell the guy he won the first round?
I don't know. Everything about that fight, the way he did the flip to start it, the way he did the weird sprint in middle of the fight, the DQ, everything about that was strange. So another MMA question, just as fans, who would you like to see Conor McGregor fight next? If it was up to you.
Easy. Justin Gaethje. No one I want more than Gaethje.
I think that's probably the fight to make at this point, with Masvidal wrapped up, who has been wrapped up.
It's not going
to
happen. He wants Khabib. Is who Dana wants.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
The Khabib thing worries me, because Conor wants to be so active this year, at least he's saying. And to fight Khabib, you would have to wait till November after Ramadan and everything.
He wants to make millions of dollars, though.
I'm impressed with this guy just getting back in there and fighting, because fighting's one of those things where if you have another means to make a lot of money and whatnot, you have to truly want to be in there. I don't give a fuck what they're offering you. There's always more money. I understand that, but
Unfiltered pulled you away from the KJ.
No, I was out of there before that. That's funny though. Only Jimmy can pull me away from that cage. But you know, it's just I give him a lot of credit, because I've shit on the guy before about some things that I feel he's done that are shitty, which, you know, I always stand by. But to get back in there shows the guy's a fighter.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yep.
Was that a real video of him that was recently?
I don't know about that.
I don't know either.
I don't know if that was real or not. All right. I had each of you guys fill out like a sort of matchmaking, what is it, a honeymooners game?
Sure. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't fill it out. I just did a big question.
Well, if you
I didn't know the I don't know anything.
You got your answers. What I decided to do, since it's our first time in a room, all three of us together,
yes.
I'm going to ask you guys questions about each other and see how you do.
This is fun, Jimmy.
So, Matt, right away.
Okay. Yes.
What type of music do you think Jim secretly likes? What do you think a guilty pleasure would be for Jim?
Well, I mean, look, everybody knows he loves Ozzy Osbourne.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there's a song. I don't know the music, but I think there's a song that he listens to that he likes, that he belts out a lot. So I don't know if it's a secret.
What's the song?
Sometimes when we touch. I don't know the other verse.
Your honesty is too much.
We've never done that before. We got a hug in mid-studio.
The people can't see it. They're hugging so much the table's shaking.
Now, we have really never sang together. I will say this. I understand why you'd say that, but the answer is incorrect. I sing that song because I hate it so much.
Wow.
The guy is such a simp, where he says, I want to hold me till I cry, till we both break down and cry while we hug. Go fuck. I hate that fucking Dan Hill, his name is. Boo. I get why, though. I've never broken it down to you. I do belt it out a lot, but it's like a hate sing.
Do you have a guilty pleasure?
You know, probably, I'm a sap. I like love songs very much.
Yeah.
Fucking Take My Breath Away by Berlin is a hit in my book. Atlantic Star, Come, Let's Make a Family. I fucking love that one. For Always by Atlantic Star. I like sappy music as well.
Always On My Mind by the remake by the Pet Shop Boys?
No, I would say the original by Willie Nelson, and I like Elvis's cover of that.
I prefer the Pet Shop Boys. You are always on my mind. You think I could be a singer?
No.
If this...
No.
Definitely.
Anyway,
not.
What's the next question, Bobby? We can ask Jimmy.
Jim, what is Matt's least favorite body part?
Matt, what would your answer be to that? Because I did write these down.
My least... Wait, on who?
On yourself.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. It's either my double chin sometimes or my belly. Let me see.
I knew the answer to this
one. I'm going to say it's definitely not my cock.
No.
I'm proud of my
everyone's
cock.
Favorite.
All right. I know this ain't a long show. I will just say my fat face.
I thought this was going to be his knees. What did you have down?
Oh, is this?
I wrote down his knee.
Oh, my God. I thought you meant like my physical appearance.
No, his knees.
My knees are bad. I could have got that one right because okay. I was just talking to Jimmy about my knees
yes,
way
he
over
was.
Here.
All right.
So just not Jimmy's bad. I do have bad knees. Awful.
All right. Next, I guess I'll ask Matt first.
Yes.
You didn't write these down. So,
so much
so
fun.
What do you think Jim wanted to be when he grew up?
Well, I do believe they didn't have like I'm going to say probably a musician, but I do know he was great at the game Asteroids. So when he was really little, maybe he wanted to be like a professional.
Like one of those King of Kong, Billy Mitchell. You ever see that documentary?
Yeah. But I take that back. I'm going to say a musician.
Okay. What do you have down?
The answer
Jim?
Is a woman. No, I wanted to be a comedian. That's all I ever wanted
to be. You probably only wanted to be a comedian.
From the time you're super young.
Since I was about 11 or 12, I was
Who
a
was
child.
Like the first person that made you be like,
Richard
okay,
Pryor. Like I always wanted to be funny. Like I would write stories in kindergarten that made people laugh. But when I saw Richard Pryor film live in concert, I'm like, oh, that's what you do with being funny. So yeah, comedian was the only job I ever really wanted. I wanted to be a lawyer at one point too, but that was still a performance
Boom.
Angle of that as well. Like Pacino and Justice for All.
Oh, Justice for All. I think you mean Pacino when he was on Stand in Scent of a Woman.
No, I did like that one.
Huh? Hoo-ha!
I love Philip Seymour.
She has a great ass.
Yeah.
Your sound waves are just flat bars at this point. Matt,
yes.
Outside of your career.
Yes.
Outside of your career. So no podcasting, no fighting, none of that
Okay.
stuff. What is something you consider yourself naturally talented at?
Oh, so it has nothing to do with jiu-jitsu either?
Nope. No.
Naturally talented at? Well, let me tell you something. I don't know. Speaking of asteroids, I don't know if you heard of a little thing called virtual reality. Have you?
We've talked about it on Unfiltered.
Well, this is what I want to tell you. Now, I don't want to brag. We're not talking about the fighting Hall of Fame stuff, what I did in that time in Abu Dhabi and stuff like that.
When you knocked out GSP?
Trig, all that shit. We're not talking about that. We're talking, Jimmy and Robbie, about it's hard to say me. It's almost like people like Superman and Clark Kent. There's me, and I'm badass with all this other stuff, but then there's also the Kimura Savage, who's great in jiu-jitsu and whatnot, but also, he's my little avatar. He is me in the Oasis, in my Vive Pro, on the game Battlefield Standout. Battlefield. It's a battle royale.
Mm-hmm.
Battle royale. It's Battlefield. It's not Battlefield. Battle royale. It's like PUBG, but it's in virtual reality. Now, there's thousands of people that play it around the world. Ask my rank. Thousands.
What's your rank?
I like 41 or something. 40, 39.
Get out of here.
Not bad.
For real?
Not bad. Soon we're going to go on Twitch with this.
Yeah, you
and
got
people
it.
Are going to see
We have a Twitch room
my...
at the office. We could link up everything.
I don't even... Oh, we could play together?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Do you have a virtual... Do you have a Vive or a Quest?
Oh, no, we can get one.
You should.
Yeah.
Because I'm a bad motherfucker on that.
I want to
And I enjoy
well.
It so much.
Jim, what did you have written down for what Matt would
singing.
Consider himself naturally talented at? Oh, that's a good one.
That's kind of funny, though. Because
yeah,
I've been singing. Before we knew that my answer would be wrong, I do like to sing, as we know, and your audience knows.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All okay. right.
Moving right
what
along.
What do you think Jim's favorite movie is?
Apocalypse Now.
Interesting.
It's not a bad
Jim,
one, though.
Do you have an answer? Is he on base?
I understand why he would say that, but...
But no.
No, it's not. It's not.
But you like it.
I love it.
Oh, okay. That's a love.
Okay. That's a pretty good guess,
I would
guess,
have
then.
To say, for many years it was Clockwork Orange, but I would have to say One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, that's a good one.
Good pick.
And he talked about that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know why?
Why?
I think he has dreams of being that Indian and putting a pillow over my face. Is why. I think, what the fuck, Jimmy? When I'm yapping and you see that voice thing go up to that, look, he's just like.
Yeah, no, I would say either that or the third Spider-Man. Tobey
Maguire. Even I can't even save that one. Even though the special effects were good. I'm not a fan of the Sandman. Fuck that guy. Really?
I don't like the Sandman.
He looks
cool. Like if they did him, yeah, he looks cool. If they did it right, he would look
that
cool.
That guy looked awesome, but it's funny. I like superheroes, but I don't like shit too unbelievable. Like, you gotta go, they got sand.
Yeah, sand.
I have no problem with people flying and shit.
Got cat shit all over him.
He's dying. He jumps into a kitty litter fucking thing. I don't know.
Matt, what is your favorite flavor of ice cream? Easy one.
I'm going to say chocolate.
What did you have written down for him, Jim?
Kimura.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Why Kimura? That's funny. I love, is there Kimura really a flavor?
It yes. Could be like your flavor. Eventually, when weed gets legalized, that should be your strain, the Matt Sarah Kimura.
Are you trying to say I'm high
strain.
Right now?
I'm not trying to say right now.
Well, I am, but listen to me.
Maybe you enjoy the green from time to time.
I could blame it on my arthritis with my knees, because my knees do fucking hurt me. But I kind of just like the way I feel on it, to be honest.
Blame it on the knees.
And my knees hurt. My knees hurt. And, you know, I'm a very active, if I do enjoy that, you know, the reefer, I'm very active. Like, whether it's...
Yeah, you're not a lazy stoner.
I'm not fucking blowing that shit out of the basement window, telling my wife I'm looking for a job type of shit. I'm doing that. That's I'm fucking I'm rolling with my black belts. I'm teaching some jujitsu. Is this thing going live, though?
No, this is not
live. All right.
This is definitely
what are you doing tonight, Robbie?
Chilling.
Come to the Upper West Side. I'm going to teach a jiu-jitsu class at Henzo Gracie's.
Nah, I can't do jiu-jitsu, man.
What the fuck's the matter with you?
I mean, I got herniated discs in the back.
Oh, you're all fucked. You're a young man.
I know.
You're an old soul, though.
Yeah.
How old are you?
21.
You can be my
kid. How'd you herniate a disc?
Hockey when I was in high school, and I like started going to physical therapy for it, wound up never doing it, and then I went and played hockey a week ago, and fucked up my back again.
You like
I'm
hockey?
All in shambles.
Dude, I like your Batman tattoo.
Thanks, man. It's Jim Lee.
Well, Jim Lee's fucking money.
The GOAT.
Is he one of your favorite characters, Batman?
My all-time favorite character, yeah.
Are you excited about Robert Pattinson playing the new up-and-coming Batman?
I am. I'm actually really stoked. Robert Pattinson was in Sadie Brothers movie, the guys that made Uncut Gems, right before they made Uncut Gems, like their debut. Oh. Was a movie called Good Time starring Robert Pattinson.
Oh, I seen Good Times.
That
good.
Completely
With
sold
J.J.
me
Walker.
On.
Yes, I love that. John Amos temporarily off. Two old men.
Dynamite! Go ahead. What are you saying?
All right. We'll close this off with this question.
Oh, we're done?
Well,
Go ahead. I know. Jimmy's been on the road. Jimmy's been on the air this morning with a show with Sam Robbins.
No, we were off today, so it's just you.
Never mind.
Serious
is never
off.
Mind.
We had the day off. It was nice. Which of Matt's achievements would you say, which achievement are you proudest of?
Are you asking me or him?
You yeah. first. I messed that up. I
oh!
It's on me. This is really GSP is an easy one,
but I think he's going to say Frank Trigg.
Would you compare the two?
No, well, listen, my biggest thing obviously would be the first fight. I say the first fight. Cause second fight didn't go well.
No,
I got to bring.
Don't even say the first fight. Just say the fight with the GSP. Fight. And we're
well, they might get
the
confused. They might watch the second one and watch me get my ass handed to me. I don't want that.
But we want him, we want him to not even know that there was a second fight.
Okay, you're right. I you know why I bring that up?
Why?
Because I'm more humble than you think.
Nah, you're humble. I don't think you're like, I would imagine he was a pretty humble guy.
All right. But I guess listen, the GSP fight was my Rocky movie. So that is what obviously what I'll say. But I think Jimmy might say Frank Trigg. I bring that up often because that was fun knocking out Frank Trigg. Oh, let me tell you, young Robbie Fox. There I was at the MGM. Never mind. I'm going to say it'll be GSP, I guess.
I was incorrect. I said being the host of UFC Unfiltered.
Oh, wow. What a nice note to cap it off.
This is why I didn't fill it out, the thing, because I knew I – you see how witty he is?
Yeah.
He's such a
– seems like maybe he has more, like, affection for the show. He's taking the relationship more seriously.
Well, I don't think he has more affection for one other – I'm sorry I beeped his nose that you can't see at all. Well, let me tell you – this is what I will tell you. That when we first started this podcast up, I liked Jimmy initially, and I got to meet him, and now I'm not afraid to say, I'm secure of myself, I love Jimmy.
Wow, that's really nice.
I love Jimmy.
Yeah, I love Matt too. We have a very fun relationship. It's fun.
It's weird. I'm a little bit more affectionate in this way because he starts to go, oh, no, no, we're good friends. He almost tries to like change the subject.
Yeah, we're friends.
No. Because some guys are afraid to show their emotions. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at me as a big alpha. I don't know how you look at me, obviously. But I'm a very warm guy. And Jimmy is one of my favorite people on the planet. And I mean that. I'm saying that honestly. If anything would be to happen, and no, because I know these fucking comedians are nuts. He would never do this. But we're talking about like different things. And if anything was ever happened to Jimmy, I would be inconsolable.
Well, thank you, man.
I'm saying a long time.
Yeah, but for at least one episode.
Right. I would feel.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
That was a really beautiful, beautiful moment to end the podcast. Well,
listen, that's nice, ain't it?
Yeah,
I'm not always that zany character.
If you would like to listen more to Jim Norton and this lunatic that is Matt Serra,
thank you so much.
Check out UFC Unfiltered every Monday and Wednesday. It's on iTunes. It's on everywhere you could find podcasts. It's on UFC Fight Pass.
Yeah, if they want to see the video of it. It's like everybody keeps asking me. They slip into my DMs.
I don't know when they upload it. I know that the most recent episode, whenever this is going, we had Henzo Gracie was in studio with us.
That's great.
And Jan Blachowicz and also James Krause were both on Skype. So I love the Skype feature. We get all the fighters on. Yeah. And it's just a little bit of an easier. There's always that, like, I'd much rather talk in the room because there's not that hesitation that there is, even, but it is what it is. So yeah.
It's better than just phone calls.
Oh, dude, it's much better. I mean? So much. The phone calls were tough.
Yeah.
Cowboy would call us with his head hanging out the window. He's like the fucking Joker out of the cop car calling us.
Jim, do you got any dates you want to plug?
When is this going up?
This will go out on Monday.
Okay, so I was just in Tampa. Let's just say go to jimnorton.com. I have dates in Chicago. I have dates in Royal Oak, Michigan. I have dates in Minneapolis and Madison, Wisconsin. I have a bunch of dates coming up in different locations. Also, I'm going to be at Skankfest, and I'm interviewing Ozzy at South by Southwest on a stage, him and Jack. So those are the things I have coming up.
Wow, fuck yeah. That's awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, brother.
All right, thank you to Jim Norton and Matt Serra for joining the show. That was an off-the-rails but very fun chat with the two of them. Now, before we get into this interview with Summer Rae, I got to tell you guys about something. We got a new sponsor on the pod. You know how much I appreciate my sponsors, the people that are keeping the lights on for this show, making sure that you guys still have a My Mom's Basement, and it's Beat Elite. So you know me, I'm not the most active person. But recently, I mean, as I'm recording this, I'm in the agony. My back, I fall asleep and I feel like the Hulk just grabs me. I think it was actually a Trent quote. He actually said this, but I feel the same way. I feel like the Hulk grabs me in my sleep and just fucking slams me from side to side like I'm Loki in the first Avengers movie. You might hear it in my voice. You're like, are you sick? Are you bored? Are you high? No, none of the above. My back is in shambles. I think I got a pinched nerve from a herniated disc or something. Ugh, it's a whole thing. But you know me, because I'm not active, I'm always trying to get an edge on the newest things that can give me an advantage regardless. So it's like the CBD stuff. Start doing CBD, that's great. It helps your joints, it helps, you know, helps you sleep, it helps all that kind of crazy stuff. Chocolate milk was a big thing. You hear him on PMT. Chocolate milk during workouts is the newest and greatest thing. Well, I'm going to start trying to get physical and using this stuff, Beat Elite, because it's the newest and best stuff on the block. Human Ends Beat Elite can help extend endurance, which I'm horrible with, improve energy and stamina, and increase oxygen delivery throughout your body. When I take it, and I have taken it, they sent me a little. It looks like protein powder almost. It's like a little canister of things. You put it in water, tastes good. It just makes you feel more energized. It makes you feel like you, I don't know, like you ate a salad, like you ate a nice steak. Even it focuses on blood flow and your oxygen transport throughout your body. It relates to optimizing your workouts. You could feel it on long drives. You could feel it on. Man, if you're walking around the city, if you're walking home from work, you really do. It's trusted by hundreds of elite teams, athletes, and organizations all over the world, so you know you're getting a top-notch performance product. If you do what I did, you take your game to the next level with Beat Elite, and yes, I'm saying beat, like B-E-E-T, like beats, like Dwight Schrute beats. Beat Elite by going to livehuman.com/mom/MOM. You get 20% off your first purchase. So try this stuff out. This offer is exclusive to my listeners only. You will not find a deal like this anywhere else. That's livehuman, livehuman.com/mom, livehuman.com/mom, 20% off.
get some of this Beat Elite stuff, put a scoop in your water, you're going to feel great. All right? Let's get into this interview with Summer Rae, and then I'll catch you next week. Thank you for tuning in, guys. See you then. All right, welcome back to the show. I am joined now in studio by a very special guest, Danielle Monáe.
Yeah, you said it right, Monáe.
Okay, good. I was nervous about saying that wrong. I watched interviews, and I was like, I know I'm still going to flip it off.
I do that before interviews. I Google, like, how to say things and phonetically.
I do it, but I always fuck it up anyway. It's USB, like, you have a 50% chance every time, and I get it wrong 100% of the time.
Right.
First question for you. On your Wikipedia, did you go to ECU?
Yes,
East Carolina. So this is really weird, but I just went to ECU for the first time in April or May because we ran a contest.
They have ECU Barstool.
Yes.
Yeah, so
we just discovered. We ran a whole contest for like who has the best college bar in America.
Oh, I saw that.
And it was all voting.
Yeah.
And ECU won for Sup Dogs. Was that there when you were there?
Sup Dogs was not there when
I
was there.
Stand,
but there's
which is weird.
Which is weird. And it
won? We showed up and we were like, this is the best bar in America.
Oh,
like
my
they
God.
serve like frosé drinks and shit.
Was it cool?
But I don't know. Yeah, sure.
I have to go back. No, some of the bars are still there.
It didn't hit me as like, this is the best bar in America.
Yeah. Some of the bars are still there. Downtown's pretty much a mess. I mean, it's great. Like ECU goes hard.
Town, yeah.
But I think someone DM'd me and asked me to retweet the best bar thing.
Oh, really?
I think maybe it was like, I don't know if it was ECU alum or maybe I followed Barstool ECU on Twitter or something, but someone was like, hey, can you help us out?
Yeah.
And so that's how I know about
it. It was wild.
Thing.
We
yeah.
went, we have like a weird like fake band here at Barstool where it's like basically a fake pop punk band.
Oh my gosh.
And we really
do you like
play
pop punk? I love pop punk.
Huge into pop punk.
Do you know the Wonder Years?
Of course, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Greatest Generation, one of my favorite albums of all time.
Ever. I know Dan and I love the Wonder Years. Like, and no one knows who it is.
I'm going to see them soon. They're coming to New York.
They're doing
actually.
Like an acoustic tour?
Yeah, with a band called Spanish Love Songs, who's a lot like the Wonder Years.
I don't
and
know
they're
them.
Fantastic. They're really
when,
good.
Sometimes when people say they like pop punk, then I throw that out there to see really know or if they like Newfound Glory or something. And I'm like, okay.
I'm actually out on Newfound Glory.
Really?
Don't like them, yeah.
Their self-titled album is maybe my favorite album front to back.
Oh, damn. I shouldn't have said I was out on Newfound Glory.
Anything, but it's fine. But that's old. But that's been years.
I'm such a big Paramore fan, too.
Yeah, I know.
Haley
so you
got to
pick sides.
No,
you
got to
pick
sides.
Of course, yeah.
Going into
so we digress.
Going back to the college thing.
Yeah.
Right out of college, you went to the Lingerie Football League.
Yes.
Was that
my poor parents?
How do you make that decision?
So I got a desk job. I did the right thing with my college education. Got a desk job. Worked in plumbing for a year and a half. Wholesale bath, kitchen, and lighting. I have great plumber's crack.
Which I assume is not what you were looking
to do. Yeah. I mean, it was like a great company. It was like good, like to like come up in it. They had a good developmental program, and I got to live at the beach, and. And then I was like, you know, I'm just going to move.
And this is where?
In Wilmington, North Carolina.
Wikipedia said you were born in New York.
Yeah, born in New York.
North Carolina.
Yeah.
Is that true? Sometimes
yes,
it's not.
I know. Sometimes when you Google things, it's definitely not true. Like my dating history, I'm like, no, those are all fake wrestlers.
Oh, really?
That's not who
my
I actually
date. My net worth is wrong. It's way lower
than
it really
mine's too.
Be, you know?
Mine's really high. I'm
no,
like,
I'm
okay,
kidding.
Now
my
I'm going to intimidate everyone. But yeah, so I was born here, lived here until I was like 2 in New York, and then moved to North Carolina, and that's where I like went to school and did everything. So I never been to Chicago, and I just moved there like blindly, and I just was like, no one's gonna live your life for you. You need to go live your own life. And I moved there and I started fresh and new, got in debt for sure. I hadn't saved any money, but you know, quit my big girl job. My parents poor parents, and then I played lingerie football.
Yeah.
And then I went wrestled my
so,
poor
like,
parents.
How did you even get the offer for how does
yeah,
that come
so
into your
I,
were
so
you an athlete growing up?
Yeah, I was an athlete. Like, I say that. I'm like, yeah. I ran track and played tennis. I mean, I jumped hurdles. I definitely was like sixth place, you know? But, yeah, athlete, you have to be some form of an athlete to be able to do that. You know, you can't just, be playing tiddlywinks. But, so I was working at Nordstrom in Chicago, working at a bar at night, modeling, just hustling. Like, I wanted to quit my job and work a ton of jobs and,
cool.
like, feel alive. And then I watched the Super Bowl halftime show, and that was when the LFL was still on the Super Bowl halftime show. And that was, like, very they had, like, a lot of models on it, and they weren't really playing.
Yeah.
And then they decided to actually get athletes.
Similar to,
and,
like,
what the WWE went through.
Yeah,
like,
for
right?
sure.
Sort of.
For sure. And so it was less of a, you know, like a gimmick and more of, do people know what gimmick means in real life? Or is
I don't
a
know.
Rest-
are we
I
like
talk
in
wrestling
talk.
Talk.
Yeah, carny
it's,
talk.
I'm pretty good now that I've been out almost 3 years, but like I'll say like ribbing or I'll say like oh,
like
you're going to heel out or like, oh yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like, no, he shoot said this to me. I can't believe yeah. it. And like I'll do
you
it.
You say that with non-wrestling fans?
Yes. And I say stuff all wrestling words all the time and people are like, I'm like, it's a whole different language.
Yeah.
But
I think I once dropped like and like, what a douchebag for me dropping it because I'm not even a wrestler. But once I was like, oh, someone like fucking hit me like they potatoed me like for real. And someone's
yeah.
like, what?
That's not a real word, yeah. potato?
I guess
like
not, no.
My dad knew what ribbing was, so maybe that's like an old man thing.
Yeah, it's all, I feel like all yeah. carny talk blends together.
That's true. It
all
is,
of these
is,
like weird professions
talk.
Where people
yeah.
are on the road and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But so yeah, so I don't know how I even got in touch with the LFL. Maybe I DM them or email them, and I kind of went after them like I went after WWE. There's a running thing with my life where I just go after what I want.
Hey, fuck yeah.
And
you played
yeah.
there for, what, three
yes,
years?
Yes, I played 3 years. And the first year, I started doing the media for them, and I kind of became
you're
the face
quarterback?
Of...
quarterback?
Yeah, I was cornerback, not quarterback.
Oh, cornerback. I'm not a football
arm.
Guy. That's not
it's okay.
even...
okay. I played defense only.
Football.
You sounded like you knew what you were talking
no,
about.
No, not really.
I played defense only. The first year, I did, like, the PR for them. Then I did the commercial, and the commercial was just kind of going to be a one-off thing, and it turned out to be awesome, and they used it in stadium. They played at ECU. It was weird.
Oh, really?
I had people tell me at the football stadium they played it. So then
Hooks
when
up,
I
Pirates?
Would...
Is that
yeah,
them? Yeah,
the Pirates. And then when I would go out, the first play of every game, the other team hated me. Like, the girls just hated me because I was the face
yeah.
and I was like the cute girl in the commercial. So girls would like come and double tackle me and the ball
damn.
Wasn't even coming my way.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh my God, I hate you. But
were you a football fan
kind of,
prior to that? Like,
yeah, I'm a big football fan. So okay. I'm a big Chicago Bears fan.
But even so. that came once you moved to Chicago or?
Yeah. Like I was always a football fan. I kind of tried to get into the Panthers. And then once I moved to Chicago, it was like, Bears
it's easier,
and
yeah.
yeah, and they're horrible. So I can't believe
yeah, but
I
the
like
fan base is
really
there
for and... sure. And it's such a football town. It's such like a sports town in general.
Yeah.
And I ran them out of the tunnel 2 years ago.
I remember that. Yeah,
which
with
is
the flag
pretty
and
crazy.
Yeah.
yeah, it's weighs a lot of weight. So
yeah,
yeah.
It's been
a lot
tough
of weight.
Few
so.
Years for Bears fans. The double doink.
Yeah,
whole...
last year was pretty decent. We did have Ditka come and talk to us with the LFL.
Oh, that's
which
cool.
was really cool.
As a Bears
and
fan.
He walked in. I think it was before our first game. And it was so funny because he was giving us advice and then he just stops at the end. He goes, I just got one question for you girls. We were like, what? And he was just like, why in the hell would you ever do this? You all are so beautiful. You could be doing anything you want and
sort
you're going to go
out
here.
Sort of why you're doing it though, right?
Yeah. And he was like, you can go out here and just get your face broken and like bust it open. And little did I know the foreshadowing of me getting my face busted open.
Yeah, so going yeah. forward, you go to the WWE in 2011. At the time, their developmental system was not NXT. It was FCW.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of wrestling fans probably don't realize how different FCW was from NXT.
Right.
I didn't know at the time. I wasn't from Florida, and we weren't really getting the – we weren't
yeah,
able to watch it every week.
FCW TV was only in Florida, yeah.
But now,
on cable TV, oh my gosh.
And we've got some of that on the network now. Going back and watching it, there were like not a lot of people there. The production
yeah.
was barely there. The lighting was not on. How would you describe that version of FCW to someone?
Yeah, I mean, I liked it, and we all kind of liked it because it had to – you really wanted it? Like, there was no
yeah.
glitz and glam?
It looked like an indie. It
yeah,
looked like
for
you
sure.
Just buy
it did.
Like a DVD
yeah.
of
for
a
sure. And now
company.
That I'm doing indie appearances, I'm like, wow, this is bigger than FCW.
Yeah.
Like, so I would say FCW shows were maybe 50 people,
which
if I had
crazy.
To guess. And it was all the same people,
and,
so
and,
they
yeah,
all
who
heckled
was in
you.
Your class of FCW,
so,
by
oh
the
my
way.
Gosh, with me, it was like Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, The New Day was all oh. there. Bray Wyatt, I was actually, I don't know if I've ever told this story. Is this a
wow,
Barstool
exclusive?
I was actually in the Wyatt family before as the original pitch, and Bray wanted me to be the girl.
Like the sister
which have they
Abigail?
Ever had a girl?
No.
So I think it was pre-Sister Abigail, like he hadn't really like that hadn't come to fruition yet
yep.
in his mind or whatever. Dusty was like a big fan of the whole thing. And so he came to me, like Wyndham came to me and he was like, I have this idea, and I was honored because at the time I was like, think I was still really new because I only got called up after a year and a half.
It's also got to be cool just for someone to like include you in an idea,
for
right?
Sure.
Like, even from a human point
for
of
sure.
view.
And he was like, we're learning, like you're still learning how to wrestle, and all of them were amazing, phenomenal wrestlers. So he was like, well, you'll be on, we get called up, you'll be on the road with us, I'll teach you how to wrestle, it's fine, you know? And I'm like, sick.
Cool.
So he had me for a month watch, do you know House of a Thousand Corpses?
Yeah.
The Rob Zombie movie? Which, by the way, Rob Zombie's wife is in that. She's such a babe.
She's in all his
movies. Right. Yeah. So I was kind of that role. Like, was the Rob Zombie where I would lure the people in with my looks and my sexuality, and then they kill them. And so I am not into scary movies at all. And in that month, he had me watch all the Manson Girls documentaries and stuff. And it was crazy because I got really, submersed myself in this world. And I got so dark. And it was kind of cool to become
his
character.
It's good for you to go through that early on in your wrestling career.
For sure.
Though, because, oh my
God. It was,
God,
like, very creative and, like, Dusty loved
really
it.
Really dive into a character like
for
that.
For sure.
Yeah.
And so he had, like, this one thing where he was on a rocking chair rocking and obviously and there I think the two guys were still in it. One of the guys from the Ascension was originally in it. I can't remember what
oh,
it was
really?
And then I like crawled in and like I placed my head on his lap and it was like just watching it back, it's so creepy. But it was a weird, like, he was my master and he wasn't my boyfriend. Like, it wasn't like House of a Thousand Corpses.
And, like, you didn't know what the relationship was.
And I had just daddy issues. And so then this one time I did a promo. Oh my gosh, it was so fun with Dusty. Like, just crazy to think even now that he's not with us. And, like, I had that experience with him. Like, it's so cool. It's just so cool. Like, you know, those days were really fun.
The promo classes with Dusty sound like the best thing in the world.
It's just amazing. And Rob Naylor, who, do you know Rob Naylor?
I don't know him personally.
Okay.
We're like Twitter friends. We've been Twitter friends for
he's
years.
So Rob, like, talked me off the ledge of quitting so many times in developmental.
Early on.
And not that I didn't want it. It just really messes with your head and your mind, and it's just hard. And he would have.
I trained to wrestle for a summer and I quit.
Really?
So you made it way further.
Yeah. That's great. Do you have that footage?
Oh, no. I honestly wish that I did have the footage now.
Yeah.
I wound up doing like I'll do a spot here and there. I do the, I'm the fan in the front row who gets super kicked unexpectedly.
Fun.
Now.
Yeah.
But no,
not
I wish
still.
I had the footage for my training. Just me blown up. That
right.
was the entire thing.
Oh, my. It's so blown up.
And like the bruises on your back from the ropes too.
Yeah, bruises on your from the rope
the
and then
rope,
your lat. It'll be on your lat, and then we all have
really
weird
have
elbows,
lats.
Like just like scarred up elbows. It's like this weird club. But so Naylor was kind of like Dream's assistant and did a lot of that creative stuff. So he has some of these promos and like we used to
he's
watch
tweeted
them together.
Them sometimes.
Yeah, I think now that he's got see how I like almost said that, but then you said it and I was like, okay, great. Has he?
I think he has
some of those and it's like crazy to watch back and like watch the stuff because some of the stuff is so dumb. But the Bray thing was really really cool and I remember doing this promo one time, and I just created it, but I was like, oh, I want Bray to like. Really think I'm good at this, you know, I've been watching my stuff. And so I did this thing where I'm like, and I had blonde hair and the whole thing, and I was like this like Beverly Hills bimbo and I had daddy issues and I was like prom queen, and at the end of it I like leaned forward and like was like, well, don't you want me, daddy, but like hitting on my father.
Oh, wow.
In the
you
promo
took it to like a next level.
The boys, like I think it was the Ascension, like I was like top class. It was like the Ascension, Corey Graves, like Bray, all like Roman, Seth, everyone was in there. Like it was just great to pop the boys, but usually people are on the phone when the girls would do promos. Like Paige was amazing at promos.
Yep.
And so
you guys,
would
had a really
walk.
Good class of women.
We had
that came
such
up
a good class,
too.
Yeah. And it
you,
was
Paige,
so
Emma,
funny.
Who's great promo.
Yeah.
Person.
Oh, Emma always had good stuff. So it was funny when I said that they were all like, oh my God, I can't believe. And then Bray comes up to me, he's like, that's so sick, that was great. So it was fun, like just looking back at stuff like that now, but probably as Vince definitely saw me as, you know, maybe like the Kelly takeover or the blondes girl, which is cool, but maybe with the redhead.
You came in at an interesting time too, where the women's evolution hadn't really
taken
place yet. Like Total Divas, I remember, just started as a reality show.
Yeah.
And they were trying
to. That was
to,
even 2 years after I started.
Well, that was 2013. Yeah.
Right,
when you were coming up with Fandango and stuff. Yeah. And I remember they were they were trying to give the women some more shine, but it was in a lot of like those like clusterfuck tag matches where it's 8-on-8 and they're like, is this like
when
really
we would
helping?
Have the Raw country show and we would do the like musical chairs to Boot Scoot and Boogie.
Yeah, which it seemed like counterproductive with all of that.
One
but
time
eventually
we got
it transitioned.
Totally, it took a while. Like I remember, like me, who's it? Me, Emma, and Paige, and someone else. We were like that right before, so we were like the first people on NXT. Yeah. I remember I did the pilot for NXT,
like, and there was buzz about you guys in NXT because it was like, oh, there's kind of
for
like
sure.
And
Paige and I, had a double seg match.
You guys had that,
and I think it was like 10 or 11 minutes, which is unheard of
in the
at
tournament
that time.
For the title, right?
I think we had gone back and forth. It was
because you guys had a feud where you got pulled apart from each other on the top
of the stage. I remember announcer. That's how I debuted wrestling, and then she won a match, and I just attacked her.
Yeah,
and that's how we started. And I would like run in on our matches
Dusty,
and hit her
like,
and
getting
stuff.
In between it. Too.
Oh
there's,
yeah,
like, great clips
the
you
pull
guys
apart.
Attack. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh, if you have that clip, please tweet me that clip.
I'll
love
that
it.
That clip's out there.
Yeah, someone listening has to tweet me that clip, but. Yeah, like that was really cool. And I remember we walked away from that match like I've never had so many bruises on my arms. I mean, we just beat the shit out of each other, you know? Yeah. But it was cool. We felt the pressure of that
Did
and having a double seg
match.
Did you
guys feel a vibe of like, whoa, shit might be changing around here? Or at that time, was it like
yeah,
no
at the time, because we hadn't even learned like how to do a commercial break. So when we were learning psychology, it was like, okay, yeah, you have, you know, the beginning, your shine, you have your cutoff, you have you know your comeback, your falsies, like the whole thing. Yep. And having a commercial break, we kind of thought,
we were
hoping too, because I think Jericho was on that show and there were a lot of, you tape four shows with NXT. And so it's just, we were the last match of the 4 hours. And
so
I'm like,
crowds,
oh my gosh, no one's going to care. And but then it's like, shoot, they gave it to it. Like, we still got to do it. And the crowd, thank goodness, was like still really into it. But I remember at that time being like, okay, so it's not the cutoff. We can't have the cutoff before you go to commercial, because then the heat's going to be too long. So like, what do we
it's
do?
Like a math
Is it a fake?
In your
but
head.
It was so interesting. We had, I mean, I hadn't. She's wrestled forever, but like I learned from scratch. So I hadn't learned that part of wrestling.
Yeah, at that point,
because
how long
we were
had you even
women at the time. We were women at the time, and now we're not. We were women. I think at that time I had only been wrestling like a year, maybe like a year, because I got called up a year and a half. And then I was still going back and forth, maybe a year and a half. Maybe I was with Fandango.
Yeah, you went back and forth for a bit to do stuff with Charlotte and Sasha. And
all the BFFs.
Yeah, you were like...
So many people want the BFFs. I get tweets about that to this day.
You were like a really good heel faction.
It was fun.
Like, it was good stuff.
That was good. We wanted to do sorority shirts, so we wanted it to be like, there's no F in the Greek alphabet, I don't think. So it'd be like beta, whatever, whatever. And we wanted to like have those things and like induct people and haze people. I mean, we had a pitch for
the
ages.
The videos of the they're like nightmare fuel for people. But when the sororities will open their doors and there's like 1,000 girls behind the door.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like clones. We could get a bunch of extras. Then if we ever went to Mania, that could be our entrance. I mean, we had so many ideas. But then like, you know, I think... who got called up first, Sasha over Charlotte?
They all got called up in like one clean.
Oh,
the three of them.
Yeah,
and then they did the faction warfare for a bit.
So it's good. I mean, I never, like, I'm not salty about anything. Like, people always say that to me in signings. They're like, oh, I wish this had happened. I wish this was BFF. And I wish you would have had this. And I'm just like, I got to live my dream.
I was
going to
say,
like,
it's been a few years since you've been in the WWE.
Yeah.
What are the annoying things that people come up and you're like no, like that's one for sure. Like, no, I'm not bitter.
Well, every single person, which is flattering. It's nice. So I don't
go back.
I don't think so. It's always, are you going
to
go back? And I don't find it annoying, but I do know people that do signings with me that get so annoyed with it. Like if they're having a bad day, say they haven't signed with Ring of Honor or AEW and they're not sure, but they still want to wrestle and there's all this stuff. And then people are like, you should go back. It's like, yeah, duh. Like, duh.
Yeah,
like,
should,
if I go back, I did.
Paycheck? Like,
you know, like, of course I should go back. So, like, for me, I've never.
Has the AEW Ring of Honor stuff made it, like, almost worse in that now there's more options and they're like, are you going to show up? And if you do a signing, like, where AEW's in town, they're like, are you going to show up? And you're like, no. Like,
No, I think if anything, it's helped. Like, I think competition is great. Like, I'm really happy for Brandi and Cody. Like, yeah, that's so cool. I love anyone that's successful after WWE, because I think when you're in it, there's like such a stigma that that's all we are and that it defines us and that's all we'll ever be, which is crazy because I respond to a name that isn't mine. Like, I'll walk down the street and if someone's real name is Summer, or if they're like Summer Day, or like they're talking but they say it loud, I literally look around. Yeah. So you do have like a little identity crisis when you leave. And I think it's a lot of my friends that are athletes, when they leave their stuff, if they don't have an exit plan, you know, they get depressed or they turn to drugs and alcohol. And like, we've all kind of seen that happen or whatever. And so I just think we're all so many other things other than that. It doesn't define you. So if anyone's ever successful, or when people are successful, let me change my phrasing.
That's nice positivity.
I love that. I think that's great. And even sometimes, like, a lot of women will go off and they'll get married and they'll have babies. And like, I know fans don't mean to be disrespectful, but they'll be like, so when are you going to go back? Or what are you doing now?
You see it happening with Ronda right now.
Yeah.
In the Rumble and everything. She made it very clear. She's going off to make a family.
And Ronda doesn't have to do anything with the rest of her life. She's Ronda Rousey. Like, correct, she's been there, done that. Like,
if she has wrestled her last match, like,
we're good. Like, she literally can, like, be changing diapers the rest of her life, because that's a job in itself. So I know when fans say that, it's like, so what are you doing now? It's just like, I know that they say it from a good place. So
it could be taken as a little disrespectful.
For sure. And like Zeb Coulter, Dutch.
Oh, yeah.
We were very close. I have very odd relationships within WWE.
I wanted to ask you, like, who have you kept in touch with?
The people I'm close with?
Always. Yeah. I think people that leave, the people that they keep in touch with show, like, who they traveled with or whatever. Yeah. I think it's always very interesting.
Yeah, for sure. People ask me that now. It's good. Zeb and I became close traveling, I think, because I love old people.
The two of you, like, guys would just travel older together?
Yes, we would like roll up to a hotel, me and him in a car, and I'd get out and they're like, Summer, Summer. And then Zeb gets out and they're like, what? Like,
what's going on there?
And he would always say, he'd always be like, sit up here with me on this flight or this and that, because no one will think we're hooking up. So I'll keep you out of trouble. And I'm like, what do you mean? When I was like first called up, and I'm like, oh, everyone.
Yeah, you sit next to a male.
You're fresh meat. Like, when a girl gets called up, you're fresh meat. So it was funny. Like, it's kind of like my dad on the road, and he would be like, sit up with me, kid. Like, let me tell you about the world. But he said something to me, because, you know, he used to wrestle in Puerto Rico
all over the place.
Yeah. And like, he would be like, Puerto Ricans, they still think it's quote unquote real nowadays, like, as far as like storyline, and they think you're so, because he was like Dirty Dutch Mantel or whatever. And
he was getting his tire slashed.
Totally. Oh, he said he'd be at IHOP and people would be like, you mother effer.
Death threats.
Yeah, like all this stuff, which is amazing.
I mean, non-wrestling fans, that's what you want. That's
people,
as much as you could possibly ask for.
People overthink their heat all the time, when really you just have to be – it can be the most subtle thing that people hate. I mean, look at We the People got over.
Yeah.
But when he first started it, it was like, oh, God. Yeah. You know, it's the hell we're actually living in America now. But but foreshadowing, weird. I've never thought about that. But he said to me – about people coming up to you in public and interrupting your family eating or whatever it is, because a lot of wrestlers have spoken out about that, is he said, you only have something to worry about when they stop asking. And so I've always thought about that, and not that I'm the kind of person, I mean, very nice, and if anyone ever asked me, like, I never would say no. If anything, I need like a bad guy, you know, at signings to take me away, because I'll just stay there for hours.
True.
And he was like, yeah, like, if someone comes up to me when I'm eating, like, I can tell them, like, oh, well, my family, next time, could you? But then I still sign. And he's like, when they stop asking, that's when you should worry. And so I just know when people ask us, what are you doing now? I know it comes from a loving place. And so I just have to know that. And also, too, fans get really nervous meeting you.
Yeah.
So, like, they kind of don't know what to say. Like, yeah, every time I talk to my grandma on the phone, she asks me the same questions. Like, she's like, are you dating anyone? Yeah. And then what are you doing for work? And it stresses me out. But then also,
I'm figuring it out.
Also, she just is like asking because she doesn't know what else to ask me, you know? So I know fans just mean well, but it is interesting because I think we all have this like mental with AEW or Ring of Honor or WWE. Like a lot of people that are in wrestling right now are torn. So every time you bring it up is a little more stress or like. You know, with me, it's like I'm doing a lot of things. Like, I don't know what I do. I just don't know how to answer that. Yeah. But I'm happy. So that's all that matters. So it's funny, but I know they mean well, you know.
Yeah. And the Zeb Coulter thing is almost an extension of when you're in the ring, you just want a reaction out of people.
Yeah.
You want cheers. You want boos. But you don't want them to stay silent. You don't want them to not
care.
For
sure.
So it's almost it plays that way after your career as well.
Yeah.
Going back, who are the other people that you're still like friends still, with?
I'm very WWE close stuff? With Emma, with Tennille.
Yep.
Her and I rode together in WWE. And
that
so,
makes sense coming up
together. And we left the same day. It was like me, her, and Darren Young.
Yep.
And so we kind of like got close with that too, and we've taken this journey after WWE together. Mm-hmm. So we recently just went to, we had an appearance in Singapore.
Oh, cool.
Then we had appearances in Australia that we booked ourselves, actually. And so then we went to Bali in between because you're on the other side of the world, and we had this like random 6 days with nothing to do. So we're like, let's just go to Bali, and it's dirt cheap. Like,
sounds like
crazy.
Yeah, sounds like you're living right now. If you're ever, just like going traveling the world on signings and she, stuff and appearances.
And she's crazy. Like, she loves to travel too. And so she'll do that. Like, if she has wrestling in England.
Does she still live in Australia?
No. She's here in the US.
That
yeah.
makes sense.
And so. But I think she, I mean, I think she'd be great if she went back to Australia. But
that flight just, I've never been there, but
so
it seems crazy to me.
Yeah.
My roommate just
it's
went
so
who works
amazing,
here. It's
though.
25 hour flight. That's like.
From here?
That broke my brain. Or 25 hours back, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think from New York, you could get like one connection. From LA, it's like only 17 hours. It's like pretty quick or whatever. I mean, still, that's crazy.
I'm not an LA person.
Yeah,
more of an LA person.
That's
than me.
Still great. Yeah, I'm like, okay, wherever I am, as long as there's good people. See, I'm so political.
I just feel like if you were like on Sunset, someone would be like, yeah, she lives in LA.
Yeah,
and if
maybe,
I were on
yeah.
Sunset, they'd be like, tourist.
They'd be like, he's going to rock show.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. But so Tennille and I are still really close. She's amazing. Like, helps me mentally and like everything. I see her a little bit when she comes up here. And then Sasha, I still talk to a little bit. We used to talk a lot, about a year ago, and then we just both get, it's hard. Like you
of
get
course.
So busy, but love Sasha, Trinity.
Traveling makes everything.
Yeah,
tricky.
For sure. It's hard, especially for them. Like your time just like goes by. I hated that part. That gives me anxiety. Like it's just like 6 years later.
Such a sigh of relief when it was like, okay, my world could like stop.
Yeah,
for a second.
I mean, even when you get injured.
Because how many days out of the year, if you're on a full time schedule, are you traveling?
I mean, if you're really doing it right and you're making good money and you're booked all the time, you can be up to 300 days a year.
That's crazy.
But see, the crazy thing is, like, I said that to someone the other day that has a desk job here in New York. And, you know, they work like 8 to 6. They work a lot of hours and they bring their work home sometimes and stuff.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, I work, you know, like you can be on the road 300 days. Excuse me. 300 days a year. And he was like, yeah, I think that's like normal people with 2 days on the weekend. But I'm like, yeah, but then, so that's flying out Friday, coming back Tuesday. No, show on Tuesday. So you're coming back Wednesday. Wednesday's a travel day. So you really have 1 day off.
Yeah, you really
and you're
don't
not in
get
your,
Wednesday.
So then you're with babies at a rental car place. It's throwing up on you. Then you're on your flight. And you have to connect usually. And then you get home and then you're exhausted because it's a 5 a.m. flight. So it's not like a poor me situation, but it was an interesting concept because we all say that on the road 300 days a year. But really, like the Knicks, they play half of it is home, half of it's away. Like, sure, you're playing, but you're home. So being in your bed with your food and your gym, like it's just
it's
so
a game changer.
Different.
Even like going on, I feel like people that aren't wrestlers can understand this. If you go on a vacation, you come home, the first night you sleep in your bed, you're like, oh, this is awesome.
And
I'm
then,
in my own bed tonight.
And then the next day you have to wake up.
Okay, imagine that's every week.
Totally. And the next day you have to wake up, you have to unpack, you have to do your laundry. It's so annoying. Then you feel like you're behind. You have so many errands to do when you come back from
Crazy.
Vacation.
And it's not like you're like,
every night, it's not like you're rock stars where you're going out, you're playing a show, and you're fine afterwards. Like, you're also banged up
sore,
after every
and then
single
you have to drive.
Taking
so,
bumps, you gotta,
yeah. So we drove our own rental cars that we pay for. And so they would only pay for our flights and everything else we paid for. So
hotels, everything.
You drive, yeah, hotels, rental cars, everything. It's write off, but not reimbursement. Speaking of which, I have to do my taxes. I'm about to set my Siri.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, it's not bad, but I also like that because it's a grind, and like, not a lot of people can do it, especially a women. Like, not a lot of girls can do it. The eating on the road too. You gotta stay in shape and wear spandex. And like, you know, maybe have an app or two. So it's like, yeah, like fast food at night. It's you know, a grind, but I think it's great. Like, I definitely think now that I did that, I can do anything.
I would think so, and I would imagine, like, living right now is probably awesome. You said you're happy
just
right
being
now.
Home.
Probably a lot of that has to do with, like, I don't know, choosing your own way, like being home.
Yeah, like just doing your own stuff. The weird thing, I love buying myself flowers every week because when I was on the road, they would die or they'd be there one day. So, like, that reminds me of, like, I'm in control of my life and my schedule or whatever. But it is interesting now being out. I'm traveling, like, a lot, too, with signings and stuff.
At least twice a month. At least it's sort of on your own volition, though.
For sure.
If you were like, all right,
I want to take a break,
if I want to take a month off, you can.
Yeah, for
so that's
sure.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Tell the people where they could find you before we get out of here.
Yes. So I'm under my real name, Danielle Monet, DanielleMonet. And that is for Instagram.
Shoot name.
Twitter. That's my shoot name. I am not on Tinder or Grindr or any of that.
So
if you see any pictures. People always message me that I'm catfish on dating apps. And then also I have crazy catfishes on Instagram. Yeah, I don't know. Some people just don't know.
Did you dye your hair so people don't recognize you as much?
Yeah, what do you think?
Do people
about my
ask
hair?
You that all the time? I think it looks good.
No one asks.
I'm a big red hair guy,
Thank
so
you.
I'm kind of like.
You can
a
see how
bad
blonde I
ask.
Am right here. Like, I'm so naturally blonde.
I think girls always think guys notice more than they do.
We do. No one ever asked me that if I dye my hair so people would. But it would make sense because it was right after it.
I'll be honest. That was a text from my sister. She's a Total Divas fan. So she was like, can you ask if she dyed her hair?
Tell her I'm not mean like I was on Total Divas. On Total Divas, I was nasty.
Yeah.
But no, I was in a group chat with my girlfriends and they were like putting us all rainbow hair, dark hair. And my friend Allie put me in red. I go, oh my God, I love it. But then I looked the same my whole life and I said, I'm just going to try it. I was like, what if I've lived in the wrong hair color my whole life?
Were people shocked when you did it?
Yeah. And then people weren't recognizing me at signings. And I was like,
wow.
Were you
like, I got to go back.
I was like, oh no. So now I like sometimes have a banner and stuff, which is interesting. But yeah, I really like it.
Cool. I like it too.
Yeah. Guys kind of don't care.